for being here with us this morning. Some time ago, I would say like a month and a half, 2 months ago, a dear lady from the church sent me a text, and she says, "Pastor, can you please pray for me? The cancer has returned." And I received a text. We text back and forth, and I said, "I'm going to come see you at the hospital." And she says, "Sure." She told me the hospital, whatever, a cottage. And I went and got a book, a real, real good book by Norval Hayes. And I'm driving to the hospital, and I am praying, and I say, "God, give me the words to speak to her." Because sometimes in life, you only have a short window. Look at me in the eye. Opportunity does not last for a lifetime. There's a short window where if you're able to step into life, into those opportunities in that window, you'll step in. If not, you'll miss it forever. That's just the way it is. God loves you, and God is, you know, you're still going to heaven on that, but you miss the opportunity. So I'm praying, and I'm asking God what to tell her. And I get there, and God gave me a word. And when I got to the hospital room, I said to her, with much respect, I said, "I want you to read this book. But before I give you this book, you got to tell me that you're going to forget everything you know." Because sometimes we approach God with tainted mindsets. Religion, tradition, experiences of yesterday, what my grandma told me, what my mama said to me, what my school teacher, and we come and we try to get fresh revelation from God, but our minds already have been tainted. Does that make sense? So the Bible says that God, no one puts new wine into old wineskins. In other words, you got to, because both of them will be ruined, the wineskin and the wine. So in other words, God says, sometimes we need a fresh attitude, a new set of eyes. And I pray that this morning that will be you, that you will forget everything that you know, in a sense, when it comes to what I'm going to speak, and you allow God to paint a new picture in your heart. About 3 weeks later, she sent me a text, and she said, "Pastor, the tumor is gone for the glory of God." Hear me out. There's two ways of living. Now, hear me out. You love God. Don't get these things mixed up. Love God, you're sincere, you're going to heaven, all that is established. But on this earth, there's two ways of living. A believer can live one of two ways. You can live the high life, or you can live the low life. You're still going to heaven. If you receive Jesus in your heart, forget that. That is on the shelf. That is established. But you can live the high life, or you can live the low life. There's a way of living the high life in God. In the book of John, chapter 10, verse 10, this is what Jesus says, that the thief came only not to kill, except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus is not speaking about eternal life. He's speaking about abundant life, a life that you can live on this earth. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, "On this earth, you can live." Come on, you can live. The high life. Jesus is saying that there is a way that you can live on this earth that is going to be the abundant life that we all want. Say, "Oh, Jesus." There's rules and laws when it comes to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, it has rules, and there's laws that have been established that you, in order for you to live the high life, you need to accept those laws into you. Let me oversimplify. This is big time oversimplify this. How many of you have been to Borders or to one of them places that they sell books? You know, when it comes to losing weight, there's a whole wall of books from the floor to the ceiling, hundreds if not thousands of books about losing weight. But the bottom line when it comes to losing weight, I'm going to save you a lot of money here. Eat less, exercise more. If you eat less, you exercise more. You're going to lose weight. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's the principle. That's, you know, they can call it the keto diet, the non-keto diet, the seafood diet, the Mexican diet, whatever you call it. Doesn't matter. Bottom line, if anybody tells you, like I saw a guy on TV the other day that he got arrested, and he used to sell a book, and he used to say, "You can eat all you want and never exercise and lose weight," he's a liar. Because the principle is, if you eat less and exercise more, you will lose weight. Well, Pastor, I don't believe that. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. In other words, if I eat less and exercise more, I can go and buy me the key ring to 24-hour fitness. Don't mess with me. I can buy me the Gold's Gym, the yearly membership. Man, I'm going for it. But if I never step into the gym and I keep eating what I'm eating, nothing is going to change. There are principles when it comes to the kingdom of God that I have to learn how the principle operates. Because if I don't learn how the principle operates, I will never get the result. In other words, I can have all the t-shirts that says gym shirt. I can have all the Lululemons. Come on, don't mess with me. I can have all the memberships, but if I don't apply the principle, nothing will ever change. And there's a principle in order for you to live the high life. Come on, say the high life. Come on, turn to your neighbor, say the high life. Tell your neighbor, I want to live the high life. Turn to your other neighbor and say, I want to live the high life. The principle is the law of confession. Many believers are ignorant to this principle. Many believers refuse to step on it. Many believers said, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but that doesn't apply to me. I'm going to show you today, chapter and verse, that if you apply this in your life will change starting today. Not tomorrow, but today. Say, oh, Jesus. Somebody says, sticks and stones might break my bones, but words will never hurt me. If the devil can get a hold of your speech, if the devil can get a hold of your mouth, if the devil can get a hold of your tongue and the words you speak, you are done. Because the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of my tongue. Say in the power. Say in the power. Death and life are in the power of the devil. No? Okay. Death and life are in the power of God. Death and life are in the power of the Holy Spirit. Death and life are in the power of the government. Death and life are in the power of Donald Trump. I had to throw him in there just to mess with you. Death and life are in the power of what? Of your speech. Your speech, your words control your destiny. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. In fact, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 32, it says, if you thought about saying something stupid. You know, we don't use the word stupid in my house, but here it's in the Bible, so I'm going to use it. This is from the Passion Translation. If you thought about saying something stupid, you better shut your mouth. Turn to your neighbor. That's a you one. That ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen. But if you ever thought about saying something ignorant, something stupid, the Bible says, shut your mouth. Watch this. What is something stupid? Something stupid is something that is contrary to what God says about you. If you ever consider saying something different than what God says about you, watch. I'm so tired. My back is killing me. I'm so broke, I can't even pay attention. My husband will never change. My wife is crazy. I'll never get that promotion. People don't like me. I'm so depressed. Anything that is contrary to what God says about you, you better shut your mouth. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, you better. Just leave it at that. Leave it at that. Anything that is contrary to what God says about you, first of all, it's not true. Regardless of how you feel, regardless of how things look, anything that is contrary to what God says about you, you better not say it. You better not say it because it's considered something what? Stupid. Hear me out. Because God sees you a certain way. And God believes in you, and God is on your side, and he's for you, he's not against you. And God says, in me, my daughter, you can do all things.
God says, hey, I am your provider. I am your healer. You see, God, if God said something about you, you better declare that about yourself. That's the key. If you put this principle in motion today, I assure you, by the end of today, your life will start going in a different direction. It's the way it is. It's a principle that most people, hey, Pastor, I don't believe that. It doesn't matter, like the books. Remember, I don't believe that. You keep going to McDonald's, you'll see. I don't believe that. And some of you looking at me a little bit crazy. You know you see me in McDonald's. The Bible says, Book of Psalms, chapter 39. It says, I will take heed of my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Think about this. The Bible says that God, that the devil cannot see your mind. Do you know that? The Bible says that you have the mind of Christ and you hold the thoughts and the purposes of God's heart. So the devil cannot see what you're thinking. Do you know that? The devil doesn't know what you're thinking. The devil plants, trying to plant seed in your mind. And the Bible says that at the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Speaks the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? So the devil doesn't know what you're thinking, but you can reveal that to him by the words that you say. In other words, you apply for a job in this instant, and the devil said, you're not going to get it. And he dropped the seed, and he doesn't know what you're thinking, but before you know it, somebody said, hey, did you apply for the job? Yeah, but I ain't going to get it. The devil said, I know that the seed that I planted in his heart is working, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But if you say, in the name of Jesus, I believe I got the job to the extent that I'm going to Ross to get me 3 new ties, because they're going to call me, and I'm going to, you see, hear me out. He says, before, can you go back? Before your enemy. So the enemy is constantly listening to see what you're saying. Well, let me see what he's going to say. Because he can be able to locate where you are in life. And the Bible says that death and life are in the power of your what? In your what? Of your words. Exactly, of your tongue. So the things that you say, the things that you speak, the things that you prophesy over yourself, over your children, over your finances, over your marriage, over relationships, over your everything that you say, it determines in which direction you go. I, Pastor, don't believe that. Look at the books on the wall. I don't believe the keto diet. Look at the books on the wall. Sometimes we think, when we hear the word confession, how many of you were at least Catholic at least once? Yeah. Yeah. I was Catholic once. My mother claimed she was Catholic, but she never seen the inside of a Catholic church. Sometimes we think, when we speak about confession, about going and confessing our sins. The Bible says in the book of John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that we confess our sins, God will forgive us. Sometimes we think confession is going, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Does that make sense? And then, you know, in the Bible uses like 4 different words to establish the word confession. But the Bible says that we confess our sins before man. The Bible never says that you got to sit down next to a person and confess all your sins, which doesn't even make sense. Think about this. Think about if you're 90 years old and you receive Jesus at 90 years old. And you go... forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. Tell me, my daughter, my son. When I was 3 years old, all of a sudden, you're going to be talking for a while, and you're going to smell pizza. And is that the priest ordered pizza? Because you, oh, man, Lord Jesus, Lord, forgive me. Because you were taking too long. So what the Bible really speaks is about confessing our sinful nature before God. And say, God, I'm a sinful man. I have messed up many, many times. I need salvation. I cannot save myself. I need Jesus. Oh, come on, give the Lord a big hand clap. That's what the Bible speaks. But in the book of Romans, being a Pauline, in the book of Romans, the Bible uses a different word. That if when you confess, the word confess here is the word homologio, which is 2 words. It's the word homo, which means one, and the word logio, which is word. In other words, it's one word. Can you say one word? He's speaking about confessing, and here it means to speak the same thing. In other words, to say the same thing. In other words, you and me have to say the same thing about ourselves as God says. When God says you're wonderfully made, you, God forbid that you call yourself something else. When God says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, God forbid that you call yourself a sinner. Hear me out. God says certain things about you, and you got to enter into agreement with him. He declared, well, pastor, you don't know what I've been. Well, God knows where you've been. And in spite of that, God sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for you. So God never sees you the way you are. God sees you perfect, complete, holy, and righteous. Oh, Jesus. That's what the Apostle Paul says. I am crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, one believes into righteousness, but with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. That's the word soteria, the word zozo. In other words, the abundant life that I read you in John 10:10, that's exactly what he's talking about. Confession. Hear me out. The words of your mouth that determine your attitude determines your life. If you wake up in the morning and you declare a negativity, I can't wait till Monday. Oh, what do you call manic Monday? What do they call? They have another word for it. What's the word they use like when they're all down and out on Monday? I don't know. Mayday, but there's another word that's more dramatic. Monday, I gotta go back to the office again. I cannot wait until Friday. And then Friday comes, something else happens. I cannot wait until next week. You know what? Today is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm gonna rejoice today. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, hump day. No hump day, I don't even know. I'm going to rejoice every day. I'm not going to live for the, well, everybody is working for the weekend. Well, what about those that work on the weekend? They ain't waiting for no weekend. Say every day. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say every day. Two things and we're done. Number one, the high life. No one ever rises above the level of their confession. You can move a little bit above, but not by much. You never rise. In other words, if you said you're tired, you're going to be tired. If you say you don't have time, I'll never have time for myself, you're never going to have time. If you say you cannot afford the house in Montecito, you'll never buy the house in Montecito. If you say you're never going to get a promotion, guess what? It's not going to happen. No one rises above the level of confession. The Bible said that death and life are in the power of your tongue. And the Bible says, declare a thing and it will be what? Establish. So if I said I'm tired, I'm not that smart. I'm so dumb. My back is killing me. You know, years ago, when someone prays for you, I'm hooking you up for free, no charge. When someone prays for you, you have to receive the prayer in order to make the prayer part of your life. That makes sense. So when someone prays for you, you know, like some years ago, we were praying here at the church, and I was praying for this guy. You know, he came forward, and then as soon as I put my hands on him, Padre bendiceme, santo aleluya. Whoa, calm down, dude. And I said, no. And they said, okay, I got you. So I go again. I start praying again. Padre, en nombre de Jesús. No. And say, dude, no, stop. I say, hey, you have to receive the prayer. You just can pray at the same time I'm praying because you're supposed to be in agreement with me. I know it sounds fundamental, but sometimes people are like that. You know, they don't understand the fundamental. So it's okay. It's all good. So you got to be able to receive the prayer to make the prayer yours. Remember, no one goes above the level of confession in order for you to continue to declare that prayer in your life. Because you believe in that prayer. Does that make sense? In other words, I pray for you for the job, and we pray in the name of Jesus. You don't have to pray God for the job every day. We pray, you believe, you receive. So now in the name of Jesus, you just thank God for the job. Does that make sense? So I was in Hawaii some years ago. I was in the Army all my life. You heard me heard the story. How many of you heard the story about the job? The job. So how many heard the story at least 10 times? Dahlia, come tell the story for me. Just kidding. Look at Dahlia with that fancy hairdo. What's going on over there?
what I'm talking about. I wish I had hair. Okay, anyhow. So I go. I'm leaving the military. I'm 38 years old. Never had a job interview in my life. 38 years old. So I'm like, man, I'm about to go get me a job, right? Of course. So before I sent my resume out, I went to church and I went to my pastor, Pastor Art, and I say, Pastor Art, I want you to pray for me because tomorrow I'm going to start sending my resume out and I'm believing God for the job. And of course, Pastor Art says, sure. So he comes and prays for me. And while he's praying, what am I doing?
Listening
so I can put it in my spirit, so I can confess it in my life, so God can bring it to pass. Because remember, declare a thing and it will be what?
Established.
Death and life are in the power of what? Of my speech. So I'm listening. So he said things. This is, I don't know, in 2003. How long ago was that? A few years ago. I was 38. Don't do the math. And he says, I pray that his resume will rise to the top. And I say, I grab that. I receive that in my spirit. And he says, I pray that those in positions of authority will see something different about him. And I said, I grab that. I receive that into my spirit. So from there on forward, every day, I say, Father, I thank you that my resume is rising to the top. I didn't pray again for this. It's a done deal. I receive it. In the name of Jesus, I pray that those in positions of authority, they will see something different about me. You ready? There's 84 people that applied for the job. 84 people. And the job came down to three people, me and two other guys that I knew. One of the guys, he was in the Army. He applied for the job, but he wasn't able to get out of the Army. So the Army didn't let him go, so he could not go for it. Well, it sucks to be him, okay? He should have prayed. Anyhow, Jesus. The other guy, his name was Kumeo Yamasato. He calls me one day in my house. I remember that day like today. I was in the kitchen when he called me. And I was in tears. My wife came in, and I was just crying. He tells me this when he calls me. I knew the guy. He says, Miguel, I heard that the job is between me and you, and I have an interview tomorrow at 10 a.m. But I'm not going to go to the interview because I want you to get the job. And I said, Kumeo, you're crazy, dude. Don't do this. You never know what, you know, how life turns, you know. He says, better yet, this is what I'm going to do tomorrow. He says, I'm going to go to the interview, and during my interview, I'm going to tell him how good you are so you can get the job. 2 days later, they called me, and I got the job. Yep. Hear me out. Someone prays. You receive the prayer, and your confession changes. You cannot, oh, Pastor, pray for my back. How are you feeling? Oh, the same. My back is killing me. No, this is the dimension of faith. This is what's going to set you apart, man. I pray that some of you are getting this today. This is what's going to set you apart. When you begin to declare what God says about you, regardless of how you feel, regardless of how things look. You see, you are a three-part being. The Bible says that you are a spirit. Say, I am a spirit. You possess a soul and you live in a body. Hear me out. You only learn this in church. You don't go to City College and they teach you that stuff. This is crazy. This is why it seems so important for you to come to church, so important for you to sign up for the life class, so important for you to go to life group. You begin to get depth and understanding about what the Word of God says, and you begin to grow. That's why we have these classes. Why do you think we have these classes? Because we want you to grow. We want you to prosper. We want you to conquer. You ready? We want you to live the high life. Jesus. What was I saying? I got this thought on my mind. Every time I look at my wife, I remember what she told me the last service. How many of you were here the last service? God bless you. My wife said, no one rises above the level of their confession. I'm going to tell you. There's a story of Job in the Bible. How many of you heard the story of Job? Story of Job is not your story. I tell you that up front. Everything that is written in the Bible is true. But not everything applies to you. I'm going to show you in a moment. The book of Job, it is believed by many Bible scholars that was written around
when the book of Genesis was taking place. The first five books of the Bible were written by Moses sometime later. But Job was under a different covenant. The Bible, the revelation of the Bible is progressive. If you read the entire Old Testament, there's very little reference to the devil. There was no revelation of the devil in the Old Testament. When Jesus came, he began to explain and give us new revelation. But in other words, in the Old Testament, you heard that they prayed to all these other gods, but they did not know. Now me and you know there's only one God. It's different revelation. So when the book of Job takes place, the story of Job, Job was not in covenant with God like you. We are under the blood of Jesus. We in a whole different covenant. There's different promises to me and you. But the Bible says that Job was in fear. Hear me out. Because fear is a magnet to the devil. Words of fear are like a magnet. That's the language of Satan. Because it's the opposite of faith. The opposite of faith is what? Fear. That's why some people don't tithe. They never tithe. They never give. They're fearful. But when a person becomes a tither, they're in faith. This is what Job said. Viene Paula. Book of Job, chapter 3. It says, because I was afraid of something awful, and it arrived. What a dread came upon me. Words of fear attracts the presence of the enemy. When a person speaks fear, doubt, unbelief, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know if I'm going to stay sober. I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if my children are going to be okay. I don't know if my marriage. Begin to speak words of fear. It attracts the enemy. That's his language. That's like music to his ears. And Job understood this. But chapter 6, it says, teach me and I will hold my tongue. And cause me to understand what mistakes I've made. Death and life are in the power of your speech. You're a three-part being. There's a battle between your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, and your spirit. Your spirit wants to do the right thing, but our mind says, watch this, Pastor, you want me to declare myself healed when the doctor told me I was ill? Tell you the words of Jesus. The Bible says, let the weak say I am what? Strong. The Bible says, let the weak say I am what? I show you in a moment ago, when Jesus spoke to the fig tree. Didn't I show you? He spoke to the fig tree and he declared something over the fig tree. And even though, watch this, you ready? When you learn how to declare, you learn how to confess, you change your life, you change your language, the fig tree, hear me, it was not in season. You begin to be fruitful in every season of your life. Every season of your life, because death and life are in the power of what? Your tongue. You declare a thing and it will be what? Established. So sometimes there's a battle between our minds. Oh, and our spirit. So our spirit wants to do the right thing, but our mind said that it doesn't make sense. It's never intended to make sense. You speak it out of faith. And faith speaks a different language. And the last one, and we're done. How many points was that? One. Okay, there you go. What you say is what you get in life. How can you lie when you say what God says about you? But what you say is what you get in life. The Bible says in the book of Matthew that Jesus turned to the man, to the blind man, and says, according to your faith will be done unto you. The Bible says that faith is found in two places, in your heart and in your what? Your mouth. It's the word of faith that we preach, the book of Romans. Faith is found where? In my mouth. He says, according to what you say, will be done unto you. Think about it. Every time you have an opportunity to speak, declare words of life. And if I was ever going to pastor a church in this earth, I would call it words of life. Will you please stand today as we pray? Dude, I didn't get anywhere. I'm in page one. Look at my notes right here. I'm going to do two things before we go. Number one, I'm going to ask you, if you're here today, look at me in the eye for a second, if you're here today, and you never made a decision for Jesus Christ,
If you're here today and you've never experienced forgiveness of sins, if you're here today, you have never been to the cross to find Jesus, I want to pray for you. God is in love with you. God loves you. God loves you so much that he sent his son.